Before we take our seats, I want to pray. I want to read a scripture and then we'll pray together. Is that okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy." Any sons and daughters in the room tonight? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Any young people in the room tonight? Your old men will dream dreams. Any mature people in the room tonight? I love that verse that it says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Of all nations, of all ages, of all generations. It's not about who we are or where we are. He will pour out his spirit on all people. Let's get hungry for that. Father God, I thank you for your presence here. I thank you, Lord, for all of those testimonies that we've just heard. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for every family represented here tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this amazing church emerge. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you are doing something new and you are doing something powerful and you're reviving things in Jesus' name. You're restoring things and people in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that when we leave tonight, there will be fresh dreams and fresh visions released into hearts, released into souls, released into bodies for your glory and for your praise. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. You can be seated today. First of all, before we go any further, I want to thank your amazing pastors, Pastor Mark and Nina. Thank you so much for the privilege it has been for me and Poppy to minister at your youth camp, to stand on your platform. And I just want to honor the sacrifices that you've made together as a couple to build such an amazing church. Church, can you please honor your incredible pastors here? I really look up to both of you and also to your youth team, location pastors. We want to celebrate. Can we celebrate all of the youth pastors, youth team, everyone who's poured out prayers before a young person stepped into the room? I don't know where Pastor Jack are, but we just want to say thank you. And it's been a real honor. If you're a parent in the room, I want to say thank you for trusting your young people in an environment where God could change their life. And Poppy and I take that really seriously too, to be able to speak into their hearts. And we'll be praying that God continues what he starts this week at camp. The title of today's message is Dreams to Destiny. Dreams to Destiny. There are two types of people in the room here tonight. And the first group of people, you're a little bit like me. When it comes time for your birthday, anybody has a birthday today? No? Okay, cool. We don't have to sing you happy birthday. That's great. But the thing is, there are people in the room like me, and when your birthday comes around, it's simply one day of the year. In fact, it's not even one day of the year. There's like a little bit of like tension that comes around. Every year you get older, your birthday keeps on coming, and it's just an awkward day for you. Like, you know, the type of birthday, for me, right, I hate my birthday because every time I walk into a room, there will be somebody who doesn't know it's my birthday, and then they'll find out it's my birthday, and then they'll feel bad that they didn't know it was my birthday, and then there's this awkward tension, and I'm just like stressed out the whole day. You're always the center of attention. Every room you walk into, they're going to try to sing you happy birthday or stuff like that. It's just a stressful day in general. And because I think of my life like an iPhone battery, I think, what percentage would I be on for my birthday? Like, what would I be on? 75, below 75% of the battery? And don't do it. It's a terrible thought. But it stresses me out. And I start to feel like I'm getting old. Then there's the second group of people. And you're a bit more like my wife, Poppy, you see. One day is not enough to celebrate all of the good things that God has done. In fact, not even one week is enough to celebrate all of the good things that God's done. Poppy has what she's termed, ready for this, birthday month. I had never heard of birthday month until I was dating Poppy. And I thought birthdays were just one day. And I remember we're driving down the coast one day, we had just started dating, and Poppy turns to me and she goes, "Oh, my birthday month is coming up." And you know, like, so if it's the first birthday, you want to impress, like you want to nail it as the boyfriend. And I remember this crippling stress hitting me. And I said, don't you mean birthday? And she corrects me. She turns around, she says, no, birthday month. And then she goes on to say, and I've got my gift list ready for you so you can go out and buy what I need for my birthday month. And fellas, can I just give you a few points if you're in the room and single? Just stick to the birthday list. Do not deviate from the, if your spouse gives you a birthday gift list, even if you think it's the perfect present that will surprise her, do not deviate from that list. Buy the things on that list. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen? Birthday month. You see, I don't like my birthday because I feel like I'm getting old. And some of you are like, that's pathetic. But you know, on a Friday night, I'm 29 now, but on a Friday night, you know, I've been going to youth since I was 12. I'm now 29. Every single week, I'm there on a Friday night. And I'm not feeling 12 any longer after being in that mosh pit. Did you see the praise tonight? It's like Thriller out there. It's like, so I'm like thrillering it up on Friday nights, picking up the fences and putting it down, you know, just doing the things that youth leaders do. And I'm feeling like the back's getting a bit sore now. I'm feeling like I'm getting a bit old. But this is my point. Some of the oldest people I know are tired 13-year-olds. And you talk to people and you're like, oh, how's your week been? Oh, I'm so tired. School and my friends are just killing me and all these type of things. They'd be like, oh, wow. But some of the youngest people I know, on the contrary to that, are expectant 70-year-olds who just can't stop dreaming into what God's going to do. You see, this is my point. Age doesn't determine how old you are. Old is a mentality, not a number. You know, one of the youngest people I know, he's 78, and he walks into church every week with an expectant heart going, God, what are you going to do? There's other people that walk in. Oh, church, how long is this? Guys, come on, salvations, hurry up. Put your hand up so we can get through the message. I'm hungry. Old. God, I'm here for you. God, I'm hungry for you. God, I'm not done dreaming into you. God, give me a hope. Give me a vision today. Young. My point is this. It doesn't matter where you are. God wants to use you today. He wants to breathe his fresh life. If you're 12, God wants to breathe fresh life into you. If you're 80, God wants to bring fresh life into you. It doesn't matter your age. What mentality of faith are you carrying tonight? Let me ask you this question. Are you tired? Check your dream. All the youth go, yes. Better question. Are you weary? There's a difference. Thank you, youth. So you can be tired and you can just rest. Get a sleep like you're going to tonight. You'll feel better tomorrow. But weariness is when you rest and you're still tired. You see, weariness is more of a mentality. It's something that you carry with you despite what you're doing. You're trying to recover, you're trying to rest, but you're still carrying a spirit of weariness. Some people, that spirit's going to shift off of your life tonight because you're not going to be weary any longer. Are you bored? Check your dream. Here's one. Are you offended? Everyone in the world, yes. Check your dream. You know, I've realized it's hard for me to keep my eyes on what other people are doing when I've got a dream of my own from God. God is big enough to give you an individual dream that he's going to use you for, that you don't have to worry about what they're doing. Comparison is the thief of joy. And some of us just need to get a dream from God for our life, and we won't be worried about comparison any longer. Doesn't matter how old you are, God wants to give you a dream. Proverbs 29 verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, there's a world out there right now with no vision. You look at the rates of things in our society, particularly in Australia, and you'll very quickly realize that we live in a nation without a vision and a dream. And if the church can rise up in vision and get people attached to kingdom vision, it will change the face of our society. But before we attach ourselves to kingdom vision, we've got to get a kingdom blueprint. We've got to get a kingdom plan. We've got to get a kingdom word. And we've got to start to build today. One author says, the poorest person in the world is not the one without money. It's the one without a dream. People in this world, some of the people with dreams just seem to have the energy that the people without it don't. People with a dream just seem to carry something that inspires the people around them. You may sit in the row tonight and there might be somebody in the middle of your row carrying a God dream, leading your row in worship. And you're like, I don't know why, but when I worship next to that person, I'm inspired to worship. I'm hungry towards God. They draw something out of me. What is it? It's the dream of God. One of the couples in the Bible who prove this point perfectly are Abraham and Sarah. You know, they're in this situation where God's given them a promise and a dream, and they try to do it in their own strength. They find out the hard way, but eventually they submit to the plan of God. This couple could not stop dreaming, and I want to pull out some things from Hebrews 11, 8 to 13 today. Is that okay? Yeah. It says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Sometimes you will not know detail for detail for detail, like your GPS, where you're going, but you've got a word. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead. Let me just tell you this. You know you're old when the Bible's saying, and he as good as dead. What's with that? Came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Do you have a dream? Number one, your dreams determine your discipline. It's so important. Young person, if you just encountered God today, the best thing you could do is get a dream from God. If you've encountered God over this camp, the one thing you could do tonight is say, God, I've encountered you, but I want a dream from you now. Because a dream will give you disciplines to say no to the wrong things and yes to the right things. A dream will give you the discipline to be obedient. Let me tell you this. The most successful thing you can do in your walk with God is be obedient to the voice of God. I know that doesn't sound great. It's like, oh, that's a bit boring. No. The most successful and the most spiritual thing you could do when you leave these doors is just choose to be obedient to God's word. Be obedient to who he's called you to be. Dreams determine discipline. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. That's it. We obey and we go. We obey and we go. We obey and we go. Obedience is success in the kingdom of God. Conviction comes as a result of a dream. You wonder why people make terrible decisions in a moment when they know better, but they make a terrible decision based on convenience rather than conviction. And there are a lot of people in and outside the church that will make a decision based on convenience rather than conviction. A conviction is something that is unshakable. I don't do it because I feel like it. I do it because it's right. And there are people inside and outside the church that need to get this dream in their heart from God so they can step into a place of conviction. You know, it's the people who carry conviction, they carry that steadfast. They don't have to worry about what people say. They're convicted for it. They don't have to worry what people are doing. They have a conviction. This is the right way forward. You see, the right dream will give you the right boundaries. The right dream will give you the right boundaries. You know, what we want to do in our generation is we really want to afterpay our dreams. Zip pay it. I'll have now. I want the dream now, God. God, give me the finances now. Thank you, Lord. Give me the and I will use it for your glory. God, give me the platform now and I will use it for your glory. No, God's saying, are you using what you have? Are you being obedient with what you've got? Are you doing something with what I've already placed inside you? You cannot afterpay your dreams. You've got to step into obedience today and build it in God. Afterpay dreams do not exist. If we live life without a dream, we will only ever settle for what's convenient rather than what's needed. Let me give you an example. Macca's drive-thru. Okay? We used to have a Macca's drive-thru right at the end of our street. Can I say this? It was convenient. Even sometimes it felt needed. But it wasn't good for me. And every time I went there, I felt increase. I felt I was making room inside of my heart, physically and emotionally and spiritually. I remember driving past, but you know those people on a fitness journey, what will they do? They will get a dream of, I want to lose that much, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, I want to run that far. And they will constantly bring it into their vision so that they can step in line with the conviction that's needed. This is my point. Constantly bring the convictions and bring the word of God into your vision. Constantly bring back that encounter where you received the dream and get it in your eyesight daily so that you can make the decisions every day to build the dream life that God's placed inside of you. You see, the dream life doesn't look like the world. It's different. A dream worth having is one that will require you to pay now so you can have later. Because if God gave you the dream that you really desired right here, right now, it would probably crush you. I'm so thankful to God. I've learned, God, you know, when you're younger and you start doing like, God, do this and blah, blah, blah. I'm so thankful that God develops the person before he develops the dream. That he wants people who are built strong. That if we receive, let me tell you this, if you received everything you had prayed for, would it bless the world around you? You don't need to really think about, oh, if I had that much or I did this. No, are you blessing people now? That's the question. Are you dreaming? Dreams determine direction. Verse 9, by faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. Now, it wasn't the promised land yet, but by faith he made his home there. You know, the dream of God will cause you to live places by faith before you even step into it. You can live somewhere in faith. You can live somewhere in trusting God that is different, and you may not even see God there yet, but you're standing in the place of faith. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob. Your dream will flow through your generations. God's dreams are bigger than one generation. It's one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And young person, you may be, what is my generations? God will give you something that will shift things in your generation for other generations to stand upon. Who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city whose foundation, whose architect and builder is God. Let me tell you this, dreams determine your direction. You know, oftentimes with God, the journey of faith looks like this. I'm taking a step, I'm taking a step, I'm taking a step. I'm being led by faith, not by sight. I really hope I don't walk off the stage because I'm not really looking right now. And that would happen to me. But I'm taking a step and I'm moving toward what God has called me for. We often want the Siri version of our life with God. In 300 meters, turn left, turn right, U-turn. But we don't get it. Because if we had that, trust would be diminished. You see, you don't have to have all the details. You have a divine word and you have everything you need. Verse 10 says, for he was looking forward. I feel like this was a word for somebody in the room. You need to look forward again. Some of you have looked into the past, or you've looked back into the mistakes, or you've looked back into things that have failed, but God is saying, look forward again. Get your vision looking forward again. What has your attention has your direction. One time I was driving out a young person's driveway. I dropped him off at about 11:30 on a Friday night. This is a really embarrassing story. It was my birthday. Hello. He's given me a bobblehead, a Jesus bobblehead, because that's what teenagers do to their youth pastors. Like, here's a Jesus bobblehead. Thank you. I love that. Put it on my dash. And as I've dropped him off at 11:30 on a Friday night, he had a big concrete wall at the front of his house. He had, note that. And he's placed the bobblehead on my dash and I'm reversing back. And as I'm reversing back, I'm already a bad driver, just ask Poppy, she'll tell you. But I'm reversing back, my focus is on the bobblehead. It's not on the wall. And so I hear this bang, crash, and I just kept on driving, to be honest. I didn't realise, like it wasn't a person. And I kept on going, and then as I pull up, I see the whole entire brick fence, which was like 10 metres, like metres long, has all crumbled because my attention wasn't on the fence or where I was going, it was on the bobblehead. Some of you are distracted by a bobblehead in your life right now. You're distracted by that thing that's in your vision and your attention is on that and there's a fence coming and it's time to get your eyes back on the road. It's time to get your eyes looking forward again. What has your attention has your direction. Let me say it like this. Your dream is driving your life right now. Whether you have a dream, it's still driving. If you have no dream, it's still driving. Your dream is driving your life decisions and it's driving your future. Moments carry momentum. So what you do right now carries momentum in your future. Moments that seem insignificant carry momentum in the future. Have the band back. Are you dreaming? Dreams determine demand. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children. Listen to this. This is the key, church. Young people, this is the key. Because she considered him faithful. Who had made the promise. It's a great confidence that comes when you consider him faithful, who had made the promise. It's hope despite understanding. It's joy, it's peace despite what's happening. When you consider him faithful, who had made the promise, everything changes. One of the things I love about working with young people is that it constantly brings me to my knees when I think about their stories. Even the testimonies that we heard tonight, that's got to do something in us, church, yeah? It's got to break your heart when you hear some of the things that young people are walking through. One of the things I love about youth, I've been a youth pastor now 7 years and people are going, hey, what are you doing in the future? I'm like, I still got vision for it. I still got a dream for it. I'm not broken enough. I've still got a broken heart for the next generation. So I'm not going anywhere. Because I love it. Because I'm driven to my knees and placing a demand on God's presence. I can't get comfortable. Even when I want to get comfortable, I can't get comfortable. Because I hear the testimony, or I hear a story of what that young person's walking through. I hear what that person's parents are going through. I hear something and it breaks my heart. And it draws me into a place of communion with God. And when you get a dream, I've got a dream for the next generation. I've got a dream for what God can do. I've got a dream for what He is doing today. But the dream will always cause you to place a demand. I'm not saying like a self-righteous God, you got to do this. I'm saying this. I'm saying God is infinite in His power. He is infinite in what He can do. And we limit the demand. We serve the God of endless supply. Over your business, over your school, over your family. He has endless supply. We limit the demand. You know, I was in India at the end of last year. I've been there 4 times. I love that nation. I'd preached at this place and this young girl who I'd been at a youth conference about 3 years ago, she recognized me and I was just about to get on the bus. I am wrecked. No, I'm like, I'm done. But I hear her, Pastor Dan. She was like 50 meters away. She comes up. She says, before you go, can you pray for my dad? Now, I was tired. But something in me said, I got to. I had to do it. I can't say no. That's my dream. This this is the dream. Even if it doesn't feel like the dream, you're living in it. Some of us have got to tell ourselves that. You're living in the dream that you prayed for. And it may be rough. You're living it. Well, you got a family. You got some things wrong in it. Great. You prayed for that family. You're living in the dream. We've got to remind ourselves, I'm living in the dream, some of us. This young girl says, hey, can you come pray for my dad? I walked through the doors and I was not ready for this moment. It's a slum. There's a whole, I walk about 100 meters, 150 meters. It's about late at night, it's dark, and there's a goat shed. I'm not kidding, there's about 50 goats in this tiny little shed. They're standing literally on each other's backs. Walk past the goat shed thinking, man, that stinks. And then she opens up this tiny little door on the back of the goat shed, about a meter and a half wide, about 2 meters long. That's it. Dirt floor, dirt wall, everything's dirt. She opens up this door. I walk up there. And I'm like, where's it? And then she starts to open up this blanket that's rolled up on the ground in the dirt. And as she rolls back this blanket, there's this man. And he's evidently in need. As soon as he saw us, he opens up his shirt. He's got a tumor on his lung. Didn't matter what words I had then. Let me preach you a message. It didn't matter what where you had been. It didn't matter what had happened. It didn't matter. Who cares about anything? This man needed an anointed church. I remember praying there and I'm like thinking, I have nothing to offer him other than what God wants to pour out. I just remember taking that. I walked away. I continued to pray for that man. I don't know the full story. But all I know is this, is that moment placed me in a spot where I realized how needy I am again. And that's a blessing. Because when we get to the place where we feel like we can do it all ourselves, when you get to the place where you have it all covered yourself, that's the most dangerous place for you to be. The best place for us to be is, God, I'm placing demand on your presence. Father God, I need an outpouring of you in my life. I want to carry your anointing. I'm not in it just to what it looks like. I'm not in it because I thought it was a good idea. I'm in it because I'm called to it. I'm in it because I'm in this family because I'm called to this family. I'm the parent of this family. I'm going to lead this family. God, I'm not in this school by accident. I'm in this school because you called me here. And I want your presence with me. Because if I don't have you, I don't have anything to offer this world around me. That's a blessed place. That's a vulnerable place, but that's a blessed place. Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, make it plain that he may run who reads it. Young person, God wants you to run into the things that he has planned for you. Parent, God wants you to run into the things that he has planned for you. He wants to make it plain. Get it on your heart. Get it in your mind. Get it in your language. Get it, you know, our world, words frame our world. Get it in your language. Start to speak it out. Start to call it out. Start to pray it down. Take what God has planted in your heart and start to say, God, I'm here and I'm ready and I am willing. Don't expect people who don't have your dream to understand your disciplines. Why do you go to church? Because I'm called to it. Why do you go to youth on Friday? Because I need to, it's my dream. I want to be positioned in the presence of God. Don't expect people who don't have your dream to understand your direction. Why are you doing that? It doesn't make sense. You're going to take a pay cut if you do that. No, I'm doing it by faith. God's given me a dream. Why are you taking this job? It's so much better. No, God's given me something. Don't expect people who don't have your dream to understand the demand you place and the priority you place on the secret place. Because it's in the secret place. When you get in the secret place, nothing matters. Because when you take that step into the public place, you will bring something from the secret place that's so evident in the public place that people will look at your life and they will see the fingerprint and the DNA of God all over it. Church, it's time to dream again. It's time to dream again. Some dreams in this room need to be restored. Some need to be released. Some need to be realized tonight. No. I had an iPhone. I'm terrible with it. I keep on dropping it. And eventually, my old iPhone, right, it was so broken that it could no longer recognize my touch. And this is my point. There are some people in this room, you feel like so broken. You feel like the dream's not there anymore. You've been disappointed or disarrayed. You're angry, whatever it looks like. But can I say this? You've got to recognize the touch of God. Because potential, that iPhone had all this potential, but it could not recognize my touch. And so all the potential of that iPhone was obsolete. It couldn't do anything that it needed to do. Wasn't able to operate the way it was called to operate. All of the gadgets and the things that it could usually do, because it could not recognize my touch, it was locked up. Can I say this? It's time to recognize the Father's touch in the room today, because it is the thing. You could have all the potential in the world, but one touch from God can unlock your life. It can unlock your mind. It can unlock your heart. You have to have a touch tonight. Can we all stand?